And welcome back to Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. This is your host, Steve Cadley, with my fabulous co-host and producer today, Mr. Andy Lowe.
Steve, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. It's great to have you here. It's good to see you.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to catch me when you can, because through the week, I'm out there moving and grooving and closing some deals with all the sales advice I get from you every week.
Oh, I like that. I paid you a lot of money for that, so but it doesn't get to be on that. All right, great. So today, we have a very wonderful guest on our show today, Mr. Paul Scheinman, Chief Marketing Officer from Advocate Networks. And we have some interesting tales. Or just before the show started, we were sharing some old, what we'll call war stories, and lots of great information. So looking forward to spending some time with him today. And without further ado, I will let Paul introduce himself. So
great.
Welcome.
Great. Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me. So really excited about sharing some selling stories and some buying stories with you. So I'm Chief Marketing Officer of Business Development for Advocate Networks, a management consulting firm focused on helping organizations in their communications challenges today and how to use communications as a strategic advantage. And so we help them with both operational, technical, financial experience and knowledge so that they can improve their operational use of communications.
When you say communications internally or communication technology?
So it's leveraging people, process, and technology in communications. So from your mobile phone, your fixed line, your internet, your wireless, satellite, how do you utilize this technology to help your business be more effective? And the cost of those services are coming down as more volume goes up. Also the use of mobility, mobile devices, tablets, how do technology companies or all companies utilize these services to benefit their customers. And also, again, now we're looking at helping organizations in the cloud and in collaboration. So you need communications, your phone lines and your voice and video. You need mobile devices to communicate with your customers. And now how do I put this data in the cloud to be more accessible, and how do I lower my costs of utilizing this technology? And then how do I use collaboration to be more effective in how our organizations work today? How do we make it fast track, streamline it much
earlier? Okay, so just to for my clarification around Advocate Network, so you're actually working with your customers to help them be more to sell more to their customers.
What we do is we help them be more effective in utilizing the technology.
Ah, okay.
To deliver their services. So whether that's a global organization that has 1,000 locations, how do they manage their costs of their communication services?
Okay.
And how do they effectively utilize the right wide area network to deliver those services to their associates, clients, and then their customers as well?
Okay. So you're helping them create efficiencies inside of their network that they
right.
may be procuring from the AT&Ts and the
Verizons
of the world.
Orange One, Vodafone, whoever that might be.
Whoever that might be. Okay.
And, so that's really where we focus on is the communication side. But now we're really reaching out. Mobility is really making the communications almost instantaneous. And everybody has to work almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Interesting. So in a lot of ways, it's trying to help them pull it all together in a way that, A, creates some efficiencies, and I have to imagine this becomes a little bit unwieldy. I know from being in the telecom space a long time ago, that was the biggest, managing all of these assets, managing all of the components was always a challenge. Is that similar to what you're helping them manage?
Right. So today, a lot of organizations, exactly, they either have homegrown systems to manage their bill and financial component, and
right.
now there are various software platforms that allow organizations to automate that. But you still need to have expertise and knowledge about where do the bills come from, are the contracts being met, and who's turned off their phone or quit the company, and you're still paying that bill. So we provide a lifecycle management service to provide that expertise and knowledge. So if you're getting 1,000 invoices a month, how are you supposed to know which invoices were
Got
turned
it.
Off, which
okay.
phones were turned off?
Interesting. And so larger customers, I can imagine. I'm a small mom and pop is probably not an ideal target
Correct.
For you.
Yes. Our customer base is that medium to large organization across financial, healthcare, manufacturing, communications, technology organizations. And typically they're about $500 million in revenue and up to about $3 to $5 billion. And typically they spend about $1 million in communications costs. That's our target's market.
Good. Who would some of your customers be?
So today, our customers are, again, we work with people like Kroger, Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
We've done work for Qualcomm. We've done work for companies like Agco, Cox Communications, Time Warner, Children's Healthcare. So a lot of, again, organizations that are trying to figure out how am I utilizing my communication services today and how to become more effective in the future.
Interesting. So, and that's Advocate Networks. And so how's business?
So business is good. Again, in a challenging market, everybody's worried about costs. And so, again, they're asking us to help them evaluate, are they paying the right amount for their services? But also, how do I leverage this technology to be more effective and efficient? So right now, we're very busy and doing lots of projects for many interesting companies.
Well, outstanding. So that's it sounds like so selling your solution is easy then, right? I mean,
That's what the VP of sales says. So from a marketing perspective, I don't deliver enough leads. So the challenge is being a 10-year-old company.
Right.
And there are 50 people today here in Atlanta, is continuing to expand and grow that marketplace. And as a consulting organization, people buy from people. It's a network of people. Mm-hmm. Our CIOs that we talk to buy from organizations that their peers have recommended. So you can't just type in telecom management consulting, and people don't search for that. They go to their peers and say, I need somebody who can help me in my mobile strategy. And who have you used? And that's how our business has expanded. It's from referrals from our existing clients.
Really referral-oriented.
Very much referral-oriented. It says, what did you do for me lately, and how good was the last project that you delivered?
Absolutely. So, and that makes sense. I think we all live in much more of a referral world because people do buy from people. But I still think that, you know, when you do have a good solution to offer, I mean, and you have a good solution from what you're doing, some of your clients are speaking to that, but it's still... Again, this is Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, so we want to talk about how you've sold it. And I know as a chief marketing officer, you know, we don't normally consider the chief marketing officer involved in sales, right? I think that's changing, and maybe that's my bias speaking. But from how are you involved? How do you see yourself involved in sales?
So, you know, as a chief marketing officer, certainly, you know, branding, positioning is important, and packaging and productizing our solutions to the customer is part that helps the sales team. But ultimately, my job is to be out there as the evangelist and helping the organization get more visibility. So I go to a lot of events and talk about how we've helped organizations. So I'm really an extension of sales. I spend probably 50% of my time on the road meeting with clients, explaining what we do and how we do it and where we've been successful, and continue to push that out as an envelope, and then continue to take the feedback we get from our clients and prospects and then create the right marketing material and content to help the sales organization be effective.
Good. So that makes a lot of sense. And so I could imagine that you're an extension of sales. So do you have a quota?
I do have a quota.
Very good. See?
I have a leads quota and a revenue quota as well.
Now, that's interesting. And I wanted to get to a little bit of how you see marketing and sales getting together. But if you think about 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever the period of time, do you think was marketing always having a quota?
No, I think 20 years ago, marketing had some money and they did, you know, branding and position. I think there was no metric that was assigned to marketing. Today, it's completely different. With the marketing automation systems and the intensity to use every dollar to drive new leads and revenue, absolutely marketing is measured on what can you deliver from a lead generation standpoint, from marketing qualified leads to sales qualified leads. You absolutely have a quota, and you have to figure out the waterfall effect. As I used to work at a company called Serious Decisions, and the waterfall effect is how many leads do I put at the very top that I have to develop as a marketing organization before they're really qualified. I don't want to hand somebody that's hit the website once and read one paper and send it to sales and say they're qualified and they're going to buy, because guess what? They're not. And then sales, the next time you send a lead, won't do the follow-up and won't call. So we have to develop the sort of marketing qualified lead where the person has educated themselves on our services, what we do, why we do it differently, enough intent so that now they're ready to have a conversation with the salesperson.
Yeah.
That's when sales start to say, wow, I see real value. Marketing has educated our clients about what we do, how we do it, why we're different, why we've been successful. And my job now is to uncover the budget and the opportunity and the time frame for that opportunity with the client.
Well said. I like that. All right, so I'm a sales guy, and having built and led sales teams, I'm looking at this thinking, so I was getting managed by my chief marketing officer in the past when I was working there, because it's the care and feeding of the salespeople, right? I mean, And that's exactly the challenge we had, which was when we had a lead come in to my team, I'd look at it saying, you know, 50-50. You know, it would be garbage, and my sales guys would push back. You know, I'm getting the stuff, I'm working them, and there's nothing to be said.
Correct.
You're actually taking it to the next step, saying we have to make sure it's qualified so that they actually embrace this idea.
Absolutely. I think marketing's job is to educate the customer about your product and service, because, you know, 20 years ago, and I'm not 29 anymore, 20 years ago, you...
I'm 31.
Well, okay. the challenge is, you know, 20 years ago, there was no internet, there was no Google, there was
That's
no
true.
Wiki, there was no mobile devices. The only way you found out about your customer was, if you were smart, you read the Wall Street Journal, Fortune, and Forbes, and you scanned those editorial items to find prospects and opportunities, educate as much as you could, and then went in and met with, whether that be the VP of sales or the operations or IT, and when you got there, you then try to uncover all these facts. Today, with the internet, you can do all that research, and the customer is much better, more educated. So when I used to sell mobile Salesforce automation laptops before they were called laptops and Salesforce automation, we were the knowledge. We were the experts. And so the customer relied on you to bring you that knowledge. Today, they have that knowledge. It's self-service. They know. They already go out there. They're already more educated, sometimes than you are potentially, when you walk in the door. So 20 years ago, you were the expert, and as long as you kept up on your technology and your services, they relied on you to bring that information. Today, it's self-service, and the customer is a lot more educated and a much more intelligent buyer than they were 20 years ago.
That's, absolutely. I agree. This is a phenomenal discussion. As I'm thinking about it, though, and I go back to, all right, so Advocate Networks, understand what you do. We're seeing the scope and landscape of the whole sales selling world over the last 20 years as we're starting to discuss, and the divide, if you will, between sales and marketing. So let's talk about a divide that you might have experienced in your life, you know, because based on your accent, I'm having a sense that, you know, you ain't from around here originally.
No.
Maybe Lower Alabama, is that about right?
South Carolina.
So, well,
I have been hunting, though, so.
Well, that's, you've got to fit in, right?
Yeah, I've got to fit in. I don't have a gun rack on my Mercedes, though. Not yet, anyway.
You're going to have to put it in your back window, too, I think.
There we go.
So, we're originally from?
So, originally from England.
Uh-huh.
Born, educated, raised, and worked in England, and had an opportunity to come over to the U.S., again, over about 25 years ago, and sell some technology. And it was really a company called Grid Systems. They made laptops before laptops were even a real word. And came in and sold field force automation to the pharmaceutical industry. The whole call detailing, in fact, sales automation, I think, was a company here that had software that allowed us to track all of the doctors.
Sales Technologies, I think the name of the company.
Sales Technology, that's correct.
Yeah.
My memory's getting old. Sold really field force automation before that became a real trend.
Right.
And
before anybody knew what it was.
Before anybody knew what it was, you had to explain what a laptop was. It was a small PC on your lap.
Absolutely.
So did that for a few years and then ended up at a company called Symbol Technologies. When Symbol was just selling all of their barcode scanning into the retail space, had just bought a handheld company in California and merged the two companies together. And I was brought on to really create their commercial sales business and go after commercial accounts. They owned retail from a scanning perspective, but had never sold anything into the commercial marketplace. And so I started out in New York and New Jersey and sold lots of mobile solutions for the enterprise. And that's really where I started.
And were you selling in the UK before you came over here?
Yes, I was with time sharing service, now called software as a service, in advertising industry. And so we sold work in progress and work management for advertising agencies, as well as buying media. So we had a big computer, a company called Donovan Data Systems, who are still in business in the UK. And we sold, again, software as software time sharing for media buying.
Media buying, but software as a service before it was called that.
That's how old we are.
So with that said, so what of your observations, you know, the scope of your selling career, both in the UK and the States, what was a big differential as you came over here selling?
Well, one language, although we speak English and you speak American, there is a language difference. And so when I was on the cold calling on the phone and saying, yes, I'd like to make an appointment with you in a fortnight, people would say, what's a fortnight? I have no idea what you're talking about. So that was difficult. I had to change the terminology that I used.
Really? It was the same language, but a different
same language. Same language, but different. And also, in England, you know, business in those days was much more personal. I'd never sold over the phone. I was scared of the phone. And so I had to learn how to communicate effectively over the phone to get an appointment. Now, the good news was I have a stronger accent than I do today, but that helped. There wasn't an administrator that I couldn't get by to get an appointment with somebody. So that really helped me, actually. I was scared of the phone, but actually turned into my best friend because of my accent, opened some doors. Now, you have to know what you're selling and how you're going to help the solution with the customer, but ultimately it did help me significantly in my career.
Interesting. And so, and you mentioned that because it helped you open the doors, but I have to imagine just getting in the door isn't enough. I mean,
no, you have to really, and I think one of the things I've seen over the years is as a salesperson, there's no way I can know everything about every technology, everything that the company I'm with sells today. It's impossible to learn. And today, with the technology moving so fast, you can't possibly read enough and keep up with it. The challenge is you are the band leader, and you've got to bring the orchestra of your company and the people within your company to be that band leader to help the customer understand how your organization can help solve their problem.
So
I learned very quickly. I didn't have to be the expert in everything, but I needed to know who were the resources within my company that could help me bring the solution to the table. And so I was very effective at bringing together teams of people to help solve a problem and explain to the customer how we could deliver and execute on that solution. And so, again, I didn't have to know everything, enough to understand the business and what we did and how we helped the customer. Understand, and I think this is the big thing, understand the customer's business.
Yeah.
Don't ask the customer to educate you about their business. You will get thrown out in 30 seconds.
And yeah, because I think you two things, and I want to go to a story that you had started to allude to earlier, which was, you know, coming back to this idea, you had said something. You need to understand their business, and you need to understand how your solution is going to help them.
Correct.
And how did you go about doing that? I mean, what was that?
So, again, in the age when there wasn't a lot of information, you would call up and ask for the company's annual report. I'm a shareholder.
Absolutely.
Can you send me one? You'd read the newspaper. You would network with people and try and find out what was going on at that company. Today, I mean, it is so easy to find out lots of things. I love LinkedIn. I love that product. And I'll tell you why. When it early sold and you met the person for the first time, what did you do to try and connect with them? You'd come in and you'd look on their desk and see a picture. Was there a family picture? Was there a sporting picture? Was there a fishing rod in there? Was there a gun on the wall? What was there? Because you had to quickly figure out how to connect with this person. Today, go on LinkedIn. Everybody tells you what organizations they're associated with and what sports they like. And so you already know a ton of information about that person when you walk in. So a shame on you if you don't walk in and say, hey, Steve, I know that you're a great tennis player. And actually, I play tennis. And you can start a conversation.
To build a rapport.
Build a rapport. Today, there's no excuse for not being able to build a rapport.
So a perfect segue for this. And I think, would you agree, Andy? I think you were teeing up to say something, or did I miss something?
Well, my wife says I'm teeing up to say something all the time. So if I have that look, it's probably because if you point to me, I'll just start going. So,
okay.
But I would totally agree with that. I think that it is much easier. And you know, it's interesting you said that you need to understand your business. That was the first thing that he said. And I find a lot of people don't even get past that step. I mean, they not only don't understand my business, but they walk out the door not even fully having taken the time to understand their business. And yet, as an informed consumer, like you said, we're more educated. I know my business, but I know their business. And so when I'm the smartest guy in the room, I'm not looking for you to tell me what the solution is now. I already know.
Right. That's a good point. And so as I come back to it, because I think that's a great segue, knowing the business, their business, and then being able to understand how I might be able to help them. But you were sharing a story, so because besides being someone who helps and is involved in the sales process, you also buy services.
Correct.
So I have to imagine that's some really rich opportunities to see the
good
sales
and bad
process.
Salespeople?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. you know, having sold for a long period of time, I love selling. I enjoy it. It's a passion, and I'm pretty good at it.
No, that's right. And, we have you on Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. I need a gong so I can
achieve. Ding. So, but I do, as a chief marketing officer, I buy lots of services, whether that's website development, whether that's search engine optimization, whether it's lead generation, whether it's collateral and branding. I buy lots of services. And you would be amazed at the number of salespeople that don't have a clue not only how to sell, how their service can help me. And I get hundreds of emails asking for an appointment, a meeting, and they're so poorly worded. There's no interesting subject line. There's no value to me. You hit delete. I get lots of phone calls. Now, unfortunately today with caller ID, you can easily screen and not pick up the phone. Mm-hmm. But I like to play a game sometimes when I don't know that number. I'll pick it up just to see who's on the other end. And it's amazing the number of people that can't, in the first 30 seconds, connect and have a value statement that's valuable to your organization. Mm-hmm. They haven't done their research. They haven't understood what you do, what your company does, and how they could help you. And so that's a big disconnect, and you hang up.
I would say, especially in this day and age, just as we were talking, there's still the annual report, in my mind, is still one of the greatest research tools out there. For a customer. I mean, you can do all kinds of analysis there. But then between LinkedIn, Facebook, any number of blogs and their website that's going on, there's no excuse not to know anything about the company.
Again, I'll give you a little story. I was for another company here in town, a company called Stratix. We were building a new website, and we did an RFP, and we sent it out to 10 vendors and qualified it, got down to 5. And we asked those vendors to come in and give us a presentation. And 4 of them did a great job, came in, had understood what we were trying to achieve, had done pre-work, had some samples and ideas. And one company came in, and they had a good reputation, and they did some pretty stunning work. And we were excited about what they could present. And they came in with the founder and the salesperson, sat down in front of our committee. It was about 4 of us. And we said, great. And the first words were, so, Paul, could you tell us about your company? And I looked at them and said, no, we sent you an RFP. We have a website. You should know a little bit about us. There was silence.
Wow. And again, this is you had an RFP was out. This was the, you know, pitch.
This is your pitch to why should you get to the next round.
Right.
And these two people walked in with nothing and didn't know anything about us, even though we'd sent them the RFP, which defined what our objectives were, and then had the audacity, and this was really one of the worst sales presentations I've ever seen, to ask me for a piece of paper and pen so they could take notes. And I just turned and said, no, I'm not giving you my pen, and I'm not giving you a piece of paper. You have 5 minutes to tell me why your organization should be even in this room. And they waffled, and they told us why they were a better company and what they'd done for other people, but they lost all sense of
credibility
with us.
Absolutely.
And so we kicked them out and picked somebody else. But it was, how can you come to a sales presentation with no content, no idea of what we did, what we were looking for, when we gave it to you on a plate? Some companies don't give you to. It was really shocking.
Absolutely, yeah. That's embarrassing as you think about it. I mean, it gives the whole selling world a bad name to a certain extent, right?
Absolutely.
All right, so now we go. You know, you're a marketing guy. You love sales. This is your passion, hence you're on Atlanta Sales Talk Radio.
Right.
And I know you're very involved in a new organization, well, it's relatively new, Executive Sales and Marketing Association. So why start that an organization? I mean, just because you have so much spare time in your
Absolutely. Career. I have nothing else to do. So Executive Sales and Marketing Association of Atlanta, we started about 2 years ago. And one of the things I saw a gap in the marketplace was a difference between there are marketing associations events, and there are some great events for marketing people, and there are some great events for salespeople. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, if you're going to be successful in the world selling, you need sales and marketing talking to each other. And so Bruce Kopkin, who's now at IBM, and myself, said, let's pull together an organization that puts both sales and marketing people in the same room and talk about the topics to help us be more effective together. Mm-hmm. And so Bruce and I, and we got a couple other people to help us, we started to develop this series of panel discussions and networking events once a month, third Monday of every month. And we have great panels and executives that have bought, sold, and share their ideas with us, share some technologies that are out there that can help you, and also network with people. And that's a big thing that we believe in. If I can help you, ultimately you'll come back and help me at some point. And you know, even with LinkedIn,
pay it forward.
Even with LinkedIn, people buy it from people, and it's scary. 6 degrees of separation, it's almost two. So if I can help you and you know somebody that eventually can help me, most people are good people and will help you.
Absolutely. I agree. I absolutely agree wholeheartedly.
Well, scientifically, didn't they just revise that? I think it's now like 4.123 or something like that. They're down from 6 degrees, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Scientifically, they've been able to prove it out. I imagine that was before they took in LinkedIn into consideration, I would imagine. That's kind of interesting. All right. So that's interesting. So you have, and it's a great organization, by the way. I'm going to give an endorsement to ESMA because I like it because it's a nice mix, too. I think if I think about the membership, you have about a 50-50 split between sales and marketing.
Absolutely.
And there's been no fisticuffs, as far as I know, so far.
No, none that I've been at.
No.
But
that's good. I think it's because it's a cash bar right now. Maybe if it's an open bar, that might change.
If it's an open bar, yes. We'll have. I think we'll know that sales will probably win that one.
Yeah.
But no, I think it is good because ultimately, in any organization, if the vice president of sales and the vice president of marketing or whatever level they are can work together, just like an American football team, not an English football team. We call it football. You use the word football. But if they can work together as an offense and a defense, you can win a game.
Absolutely.
If one team has a great offense but a really poor defense, then you're not going to win the game. So with sales and marketing working together and really understanding the buying cycle of the buyer, you can be successful. But you've got to work together. You can't work against each other. And that's where we see successful organizations, again, meeting their targets and growing every year. And organizations where there's a big divide between the two will struggle.
Yeah, no, I can see. I absolutely agree on that one. And I think about, too, as I look at our time today, and one of the things I'd like to finish up as we move towards finishing up in regards to, so you come over from the UK, you're selling in the UK, you come over to the States, start selling, move into, working through many, sounds like startup organizations, large organizations. Now you're chief marketing officer, start another nonprofit organization. So a great deal of experience, great deal of knowledge, and, the perspective on the industry, marketing, sales, however we define that. So if you were a new person or someone entering this world of sales and marketing, what kind of advice would you offer? Is there a couple kernels that you might?
Yeah, but I think, today with all of the technology and the information out there, a couple things I learned early on in my career. One is be prepared, like the Boy Scouts. Be prepared. Do your research. Understand your company's services and products and how they can help a company. Understand that company's business and where they are in the cycle of that business. And then when you go meet with the client, make sure that you can articulate that message as it relates to them. But then listen. Too many people want to turn on their laptops and go through a 50-slide PowerPoint presentation without even listening and asking that first question of the prospect.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, listen. So basically, be prepared. And then listen. Shut up and listen is effectively what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have some value, otherwise you wouldn't get the meeting. But really listen and key off of the questions that the customer has for you. Just because you've got this presentation you need to get through, you don't. If the customer gives you a buying signal or a pain, go down that road with them and help them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stick to a script.
Good.
But really, you need to understand that you're going to have to develop a rapport with that client. It's not just one person. There's more than one person buying. And you need to, again, listen and be prepared and be flexible and be honest and genuine. And if you can't help them,
honest and genuine,
tell them, you know what? I don't think our service is going to be able to help you. Appreciate the opportunity. Maybe we can help you at another time. Because that will gain you more than trying to fit a square peg in a round hole.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I love that idea. Good. Any other last thoughts that you might have, Andy?
Yeah, I just want to go back to what you said about language, because I just thought that was such an interesting thing. We talked about that just recently on another show. We were discussing language, and we were talking about the difference between the language that the business side of the business would have and the technical side of the business, and then, of course, the consumers speak an entirely different language. We all speak fundamentally, perhaps, the English language, but when we're dealing sales to marketing, would you agree that there are also language barriers between those two departments and even the prospect on the other end?
That's a great point. I think that marketing has to educate sales on the sales process early on in the cycle, the whole marketing process of how customers are getting educated. And so I think there's some education that needs to go on there. Absolutely, because, again, they think every lead is qualified and ready to buy and is going to sign the check tomorrow. And marketing says none of my leads are qualified yet.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Well, Paul, I think that was a fascinating interview. I really enjoyed your time today, and I'm looking forward to, I think I'd like to offer is some of the customers that you've worked with, Advocate Networks, in regards to having a back on the show with one of your delighted customers to share a little bit more on what they've enjoyed, you know, in working with Advocate Networks and you know, maybe even with one of your salespeople.
That we'd be happy to do that. Be great. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Andy.
All right.
Yeah, Paul, we enjoyed having you. If somebody wanted to get in touch with you and learn more about your organization and what they could do for you, how would they go about finding you?
Go to the web, www.advocatenetworks.com, or send me an email at paul.shiman, S-H-I-M-A-N, at advocatenetworks.com.
Very good, Paul. I appreciate your time.
Great, thank you.
And this is Steve Gadley with another wonderful show of, and wonderful, that's a little bit biased, I know, but it's another wonderful show of Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. And signing off here, and remember, everyone is in sales. So, with that, happy selling, everyone.